So this is a short psalm. Bless the Lord is the title that's taken right out of the psalm. Psalms 134, verses 1 to 3. A song of degrees. Behold, bless you the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion. That blessing out of Zion, that's very timely where our blessing comes from. In this study, we'll look at how and why we bless the Lord and how this blessing stems from our being the first to trust God as we hear the gospel preached beginning at Jerusalem or at Zion, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. And we have that word free, G1658, which is Eleutheros. Not a slave. We're no longer a slave to sin. Galatians 5:13. But for brethren, you have been called unto liberty. That's G1657. That's Eleutherie. And that's freedom. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. And he has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So it's interesting, physically, beginning at Jerusalem, yes, spiritually, beginning at Jerusalem above, the mother of us all, where we reside and where we tarry and where Christ tells us we need to be patient together in that raised position, that earnest that we have, that we remind each other of as a body of Christ, and where our strength is in this place where we are right now. This is our great honor and privilege to be gathered together and raised in heavenly places together to see something that the world can't see. That beginning, which we talked about here at Jerusalem, is just that. It's a beginning that is preceded by witness, as we'll see after we read Luke 24:47, and continues to grow and strengthen as we tarry you in the city of Jerusalem. It's that abiding in Jerusalem that strengthens us. It's not going away from it. It's staying there. It's being blessed to hold fast. And we do pray this prayer for each other. This prayer in Philippians is really talking about what we desire for each other as we continue in the word. And this I pray, that your love may abound, but by love serve one another, that we read earlier in Galatians 5:13. With this liberty that we have as we're raised in heavenly places, now what do we do with this liberty? Yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. We can't leave that out. We have to have proper judgment and knowledge, and they work together. That all works together, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And I will give power unto my two witnesses. This is saying the same thing. And they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. And you are witnesses, notices, of these things, of that power that God has given us that abides in Jerusalem above. And behold, I will send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. So the waiting is so important. And Christ said to his disciples, we're going to talk about that. Couldn't you wait? Couldn't you wait? Couldn't you stay awake? Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And the truth is, the disciples couldn't wait, and they needed to see that. We need to see that. But through Christ, we can and we will. Abiding and continuing, or not forsaking the assembling of the saints as we tarry in Jerusalem above and come together, are all saying the same thing as we come together. So much the more as you see the day approaching, so that we can be nourished by each joint that supplies from a spirit of sincerity and truth. And having done all, we will stand and overcome the wicked one with the love of God being shed abroad in our hearts. Therefore, let us keep the feast not with old leaven, neither with leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, that's with the old leaven or with the leaven of malice and wickedness, after that you have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins. So how do we combat that? And this is the introspective part that we want to talk about. We'll look at the foolish and the wise virgins and see and understand that we're both, and God is telling us that's why we have to watch and pray always. Be always prayerful. Help each other in that endeavor. Come together often for that reason. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up. That's with old leaven, or with the leaven of malice and wickedness, that spirit that the Lord may send, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. That sin can be at the door, that can be there, and we can overcome it through Christ in us, through that right relationship that he grants us. And then verse 27, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. That's hopefully happening now within. The adversary within us is being devoured now, and that's happening as a result of our abiding in Jerusalem. So just abiding in Jerusalem doesn't mean it's all going to be peaches and cream. It actually means we'll be well in the Lord, because we'll have each other to help us through the fire, through the trials. That's what we're really being taught, and I think we all know that. But the hour comes, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, in sincerity and truth. For the Father seeks such to worship him. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Again, stand against what? The sin that lies at the door and wants to rule over us, the old leaven and the leaven of malice and wickedness. Genesis 4:7. If you do well, shalt thou not be accepted? And of course, we're accepted in Christ, and that's the point. We're accepted, and we do well when we are in the Lord, who works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And if you do not well, sin lies at the door. And sometimes we don't do well, and we're chasing our own iniquities, chasing us. And we have to remember that the Lord's working all of that. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. We will rule over him. We will overcome. If Christ is working with us today, we will. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us from Jerusalem above, which we've been talking about. Every good and perfect gift is from above, that's from Jerusalem above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Ephesians 6:24, grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Our praise and worship of God becomes more heartfelt, sincere, and earnest as a result of the judgment that he's putting us through in this life, helping us see that our form, helping us to see what we are without Christ, without the faith of Christ. Mike talked about the book of Isaiah. The contrast is there all the time. God will not fail his people, but he will not let us forget There's none so blind as my servant. It's just imperative, and it's so easy to forget that. And yet the Lord is faithful. He's faithful to bring us to our wits' end, to cry out, and then to deliver us. He's putting us through all of this in our life as we tarry in Jerusalem, where we bless the Lord for those wonderful works that make it possible for us to worship Him in spirit and truth, simply because He has sought us out for that purpose, like we read in John. God sought us out. And whatever God seeks, He finds. And He's dragged us to His Son so that we can abide in His purifying word that we are blessed to read here and keep through this life. Christ in Luke 22:44, and being in an agony, He prayed more earnestly, and His sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Now we know what those wonderful works are. And we know that Christ is in the midst of the storm. He knows how to comfort us. He's a God of all comfort. And the comfort that you receive will be used to help someone else. So it's a blessing to go through trials and to be comforted and then to be used of the Lord to help someone else with that experience. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. But the hour comes, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, that sincerity, for the Father seeks such to worship him. He creates that sincere, that humble, that contrite heart. He fashions us to be that way so that we can worship him together and in as one body. Blessed is he that reads, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. We're talking about blessing the Lord. What does it mean to bless the Lord? Why can we bless the Lord and truly bless him? Because we're blessing him and thanking him for the work that he's doing in our heavens together as a body, and helping us to see how we need him every second of our life, every moment. We contribute nothing to our own salvation and come to acknowledge that our ability to overcome is a complete gift from God, given through Christ, who can use evil for good and causes the light and darkness within us to accomplish what he has ordained to happen from the foundation of the world, revealing his sovereign hand that is working all things according to the counsel of his own will, as he forms that sincere relationship in us by teaching us to forsake ungodliness and worldly lusts in this age. We in turn reveal the Son as Christ revealed the Father through that sincerity that is being formed with the Comforter within us. Titus 2:12, we normally just don't always look at the surrounding verses, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope every second, every day, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, right now, not just down at the end, but Christ said to Peter, "Have I been so long with you and you asked me to show you the Father?" If we see Christ in each other, we see the Father. Our hope has to be real right now. This is Jesus Christ, we who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise you. Don't let your flesh lie to you. Don't let yourself walk away from that mirror that we talked about of liberty. But carry that with you, that the Lord is with you and he's doing a zealous work. You are his workmanship. We are Jesus Christ. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knows the Son but the Father, neither knows any man the Father, save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Father or the Son will reveal him. To whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Those are those keys to the kingdom. Without that knowledge, without Christ opening that relationship with the Father, we won't know the Father. Philip says unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. Philip was asking him, reveal the Father. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet you have you not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believe thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the works. They profess, and I put this verse in here, that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Denying the Father, which is what he couldn't help it, but that's where he was. That's where the Lord had Peter at that point. Philip, I'm sorry. Believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Then said Jesus unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? There's the works again. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. The Father is glorified in us, just as he was glorified in Christ. As he is, so are we. Colossians 1:27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Whether they see that today, it's for the Gentile within me that has to be shown, but it's for the Gentile without down the road. Herein is our love made perfect, that you may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. And Acts 22. And I fell into the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecute thou me? And I answered, who are you, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you persecute. So who is Jesus? We are Jesus. We are Christ's body. If you love me, keep my commandments. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. And without that Spirit, we can't keep his commandments. So he's given his Spirit to us. He's taught us obedience by the things we suffered. And we don't despise that chastening, because we know that there comes a blessing with that breaking of the earth, that breaking and binding. The Lord is working. He's working a work there. And his grace is sufficient for us. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, and he dwells with you and shall be in you. It's that understanding of and judging the Mount of Esau as we examine ourselves and as we look well to the flock and we continue to nourish each other, wash each other with the word, and help each other believe all things, endure all things, hope all things. Because through Christ, through this body, we can be that joint that provides that encouragement and does that. That's the miracle of our calling, and that's what the Lord wants us to know. He wants the world to see that little flock be saved in good order, exactly as he has written it in our books, to his glory and honor. A song of degrees. Behold, bless you the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Psalms 134, verse 1. Night is elsewhere translated by Strong as midnight. And I thank Gail for bringing this to my attention. And tonight, as well as night seasons, reminding us of the vigilance we need to have in this house of the Lord, not to be shut out as the five foolish virgins without oil in Matthew 25. Because as we said, we would be, except for the grace of God. So this is written for us. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go you out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go you rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. This is a race we're in, but this is not a race as men think of a race. The Lord knows who's going to endure unto the end. He knows when that door will be shut. He won't always strive with the flesh of men. His plan is going to go forward. And that's what we're being taught here. But these words are written for us to remind us, this is how it's going to go down. This is what Christ has written. This is what the Father has written through Christ. In Luke 7:44, Christ reminds his disciples who were not yet converted of how lacking in attentiveness to the cares of Christ they were. And we all know that of ourselves, but as we grow and mature, the Lord pricks our hearts and shows us more and more the need of the body around us. And Luke 7:44, and he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, see thou this woman, church, I entered into thine house, and you gave me no water for my feet. No comfort in his walk. But she has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. The woman who ministered to Christ represents the correct gathering of the body of Christ, the five wise virgins of Matthew 25 with oil, where we anoint each other's feet and wash each other with the word and prepare each other to die daily as we endure through the trials of this life together. Christ simply said, she did this for my burial. And we know that we are buried with Christ into his death, and that we will need that oil, oil that comes from the crushing in each of our lives on our feet, that symbolizes our ministering to each other's needs as Christ's disciples through the loving actions that we pray we can continually bring to one another, so that we can be comforted in this life that requires so much patience. So we thank God now for those storms, because if a storm is coming, we know there's comfort, and we know where that comfort will come from. It will come from our Father through Jesus Christ, through the body. You gave me no kiss going on, but this woman, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You know the verse we talk about a lot in Psalms where it says, kiss the Lord while it is today. She was attentive. She saw the need of the body of Christ. And that was her primary focus. She was focused on Christ. My head with oil that did not anoint, but this woman has anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. And there's a great lesson there, because God is showing us we're the chief of sinners and we're acknowledging it. And we're being broken down and coming to say, Lord, I have nothing to offer you. We see that as the body of Christ, but that's our strength, because now we have that acknowledgement of our sins and we know where to go to have those sins washed and healed. We go to the body of Christ. We go to our Father. We go to our Lord, and we heal each other. Wherefore I say unto you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven. She was attentive. She was there. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. And he said unto her, your sins are forgiven. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. And Christ's body, this is the body of Christ. So we are anointing each other. Every time we make a prayer, we walk our life out in the Lord. It's an ointment that God's giving us. Know you not that so many of us, as we're baptized into Jesus Christ, we're baptized into his death, into this event of ointment and preparation for death and all the things that we endure. That's our communion. Our flesh cannot be put off unless we are judged, and then we will be blessed to trust him. 2 Corinthians 1:9 says, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. We bless the Lord, whom we lay down our life for one another, and so we ask the Lord to deepen his love within us and help us see how our trials and sufferings and the comfort that he brings us through each other are all working together according to the counsel of his will. Okay, where was I? For the edifying of the body in love, which is Ephesians 4:16. So those trials are working for that very express reason, to strengthen us in his love. And we'll work together for good, because it is Christ who is working this work of love and who tells us that all those things that we are going through together will work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So that is a great witness. It's God demonstrating his love through this body of Christ, through the trials, that he's working to demonstrate how we can be, through Jesus Christ, we can help each other through this life and be disciples indeed, and witness to the world that love that disciples witness, which is what Christ said. The world will know we're disciples by that love that we have for one another. It is all you servants of the Lord, which by night, who stand in the house of the Lord and bless the Lord, because it is in the night, typified by the shadow of the valley of death, our darkened flesh, that we bless each other. This is all happening in these vessels of that have dishonor within them, these vessels that are corrupt, that have to be put off. And after we've done all, we are able to stand in the house of the Lord as we minister to each other's needs and are mindful of what each other is going through, as we are moved and inspired to fulfill those needs as the Lord leads. That is how we bless the Lord. And we're growing in that. I mean, nobody here gets this right. It's a lifelong process of just remembering a little more what's in that law of liberty in Christ, as Christ increases and we decrease. And that's so important, because then we would have a plague in our land if we didn't see that it's all of the Lord. He's the one driving the beasts out of us, making us more concerned, more caring, more attentive, like that woman who was crying over the feet of our Lord. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, all of which Christ is far higher than. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Those things that we talked about earlier, that leaven, and whatever it is that tries to penetrate the body of Christ, that will not prevail against this church, against the body of Christ. The gates of hell will not prevail. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And I know we pray that for each other. We pray that for our elders. We pray that for each other every day. We pray that we can be that witness wherever we go, and always be ready to give an answer for the hope that's within you, because it's the most powerful hope in the universe. But that you also may know my affairs and how I do. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, just like the word is sent to heal. He's sent for that purpose, that you might know our affairs and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. That whole suit of armor is what is needed to stand against the wiles of the devil and to be strong in the Lord and ultimately to fulfill verse 24 that says, grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Reminding us that love has a foundation that is established through obedience, that God teaches us through the things that we suffer so that we can learn to confidently wear the whole suit of armor together as a body of Christ. Our confidence is in Christ, in each other, and we don't want to cast that confidence away because there is great recompense of reward being given to this little flock. And God has ordained and called us unto this blessing so that we can bless the Lord in each other. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. That gets back right to the full circle of what he was saying. You do not know me? Well, he must not have been attentive and loving if he didn't know God in Christ. He was not seeing something. He that loves not knows not God, for God is love. In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that he might live through him. John 14:19. Yet a little while, and the world sees me no more. But you see me, because I live, you shall live also. Because I live, you shall live also. We live through Christ. We live because Christ lives in us. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. He loved us first while we were yet sinners, and that tells us how we, of course, have to love the world. We love our enemies. We pray for those who falsely accuse us. We do all those things, and that demonstrates that we are, in fact, sons of God. Beloved, if God has so loved us, we ought to also love one another and our enemies. We are sent to each other as Christ was sent to us to bring healing through his words. Psalms 107:20, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, learning obedience by the things we suffer, because as he is, so are we in this world. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. So we bless the Lord in each other. We pray for each other for that strength, that love to continue to grow, because we know we're on the same page in the Lord, that we've been called into this blessing, an enormous blessing. And of course, Romans 11, God tells us, let's, knowing this now, let's be patient, and let's certainly not become conceited with that promise. God said, I've woken you up. You're no longer a foolish virgin. I've given you the ability to trim your lamp. You can see where we're going. Hold fast. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Psalms 134, verse 2. When we bless the Lord, we lift up our hands in the sanctuary, a safe place where we know the gates of hell will not prevail against us, and where the peaceable fruit of righteousness is being matured in the lives of those who are being received of God through our trials and through our much tribulation in this life. So if there were no trials, if all men spoke well of us, I'd be really worried. I'd say, well, Lord, what's going on? No, there are trials, and that's just the witness that we are Jesus Christ, and it's through much affliction and persecution and tribulation that we inherit the kingdom. And I say unto thee that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, can we? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can endure it. If you endure chastening, you will. If Christ is working with us, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chastens not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Christ said, we will drink the cup. Be encouraged. Right on the heels of Christ telling us that we are received through chastening of verse 8, we see the words, lift up the hands and the feeble knees in verse 12, to encourage us that the Lord knows our frame and all that we must go through in this life. And then in time, we will praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men through Christ. And that is another way of saying that we bless the Lord. He makes the storm calm so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he brings them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. God never lets us forget that we were those foolish virgins, and we narrowly escaped for that reason, so we know it's all of the Lord. The Lord has us bound to the altar, and he wants us to encourage each other. We're here for that reason. We are here to attain to that first resurrection, to encourage each other, as we heard so brightly in the last few studies. Every study that's been coming out more and more, God's blessing us to see that's who you are. That's what I'm doing. Psalms 134, verse 3, the Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion. This last verse of our study gives us confirmation that it is in our heavens where our treasure in earthen vessels is laid up, that the Lord blesses us through each other who are Zion to meet the Lord in the air. Ephesians 2, 6 and 7, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. The world will say, you were loved of the Lord. You were sons of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God. That's what this is talking about. You were loved first. You were first fruits. God put all of his attention on you. He had you sitting together in heavenly places. And Savior shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I mentioned this before, but why is there that little variation of time? Just a little. The dead rise first, because God wants all the world to see that he never had any regard for our flesh, ever. So we come up after, we come up, but the dead in Christ rise first. And then those who are alive, they'll come up immediately, in a moment, and in a twinkling of an eye. And they'll know that too. Everyone will know who is in that first resurrection, that this was the work of the Lord. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. It is the Lord that made heaven and earth, or the light and the darkness, the good and the evil of Isaiah 45:7, who blesses us out of Zion. And as we saw in tonight's study, those blessings come about as a result of the trials and tribulations that make it possible for the patience and faith of the saints to be created. Revelation 14:1, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. Ezekiel 3:9, about the forehead. As an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Malachi 3:17. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. and I will spare them, as a man spares his own son that serves him. That's that severity and goodness of God. That's that going from the foolish to being the wise, all by the grace of God, all by his mercy. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. The wise and the foolish virgin, he did it. I, the Lord, do all these things. Drop down, you heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open. Let the earth open, O earth, earth, earth. Hear the word of the Lord. When the earth is opening, that's what's happening. The word is being heard, and the seed is being planted. And let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it, that process that we're a part of. It is in that creation process that we learn of the workmanship of his hands that we are, and bless the Lord and praise him for this wonderful work that we know and believe is not just for our sakes, but also so that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ, toward all of humanity, all of humanity. And of course, these very familiar verses, in a moment and a twinkling of an eye at the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And I actually wanted to put, as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive, which is right around there. But that's a good verse too. 1 John 2:2, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And 1 Timothy 4:10, we'll fix that verse. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God. Remember that idea of trusting as first fruits who trust by putting off our flesh, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe, but not exclusively, as we always say. All men will be saved, but he starts with the first fruits who are blessed to trust first. God has called us unto a blessing, and we will realize that blessing through the struggles and trials that he has ordained for our growth. We bless the Lord now in each other while it is called today, and pray for that patience and faith of the saints that we all need, so that we are found patiently waiting for our Lord when he returns, and not striving with his maker. Woe unto him that strives with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherd of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioned it, what makest thou? That whole earth, earth, earth process, do we come up, and what we do until we don't, or thy work, he hath no hands. We strive because of our inability to recognize that we have no free moral agency. We strive until the Lord burns that out of us. That's the destruction of the man of perdition on the beast, on the throne. Nay, but O man, who are you that replies against God? Shall a thing formed say to him that formed it? This is God's perspective. Why have you made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? Does he? He does. He does that within us, but he also shows us that he will preserve some unto judgment. He lets them be a vessel of dishonor for now, until the day that he brings them into judgment. And he's doing it all. It's all predestinated. It's all written. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. Of a truth, I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. Doing what? Providing spiritual meat as we do for each other in due season. Encouraging, comforting one another, being attentive to the needs of the body of Christ. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. And that will be of the Lord. Then shall the kingdom of heaven... Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to the bridegroom. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto 10 virgins within us. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. And while they, the 5 foolish virgins, went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. There's an outward fulfillment of that, but right now, for us, we are going through this process. That foolish virgin is being destroyed. That's the man of perdition. That's the first man, Adam. that has to start to see the evil before it happens, look down and recognize the trouble before it happens. Prepare yourself now. Get that whole suit of armor now. Build the ark now. Move with fear now. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Where am I? Now, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, where we have entered into, but to them it is not given. We are entered into that in earnest. It's been given unto us, and that's the message, is that the Lord is telling us it is his Father's good pleasure to give us that kingdom that we've entered into now. But while we're in it, while we're going through it, we are going through a process of having that those foolish virgins destroyed, and so that we can be purified and made ready. Like it says, the bride has made herself ready. Well, we know it's the Lord who makes us ready. And that's why we bless the Lord, because we know he's working this, and we want to believe that. Believe all things, help each other to believe all things, and continue to fight a good fight of faith, because that's how we wash each other in the Word. And that's our study. What's that?
It's verse
22. Verse 22, 1 Corinthians 15:22. Yeah.